First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and we'll start reading verse 3. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about something that's I think has been true from the first day I believed. You know, the more I understood why God saved me, the more I understood about salvation, the more I understood and I started my relationship with Christ, the easier it was to follow Him. And I think that's something that we have to be diligent about, is to understand, to make sure we understand who Christ is going to help us and how we walk in the decisions that we make. In verse three, let's just start reading from here. It says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to open up your word. Lord, I just pray that you just help me tonight, Lord, just to say exactly what you want me to say, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Lord, I just thank you for this great ministry, Lord, that you've given us to be able to take this gospel into the world. I just thank you for this fellowship. I thank you, Lord, for this group of believers. I just ask that everything that we do, our decisions that we make, Lord, everything that we want to aspire to be, Lord, is because of you. And I just pray that you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So your understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ will determine the path that you take, right? I mean, this is something that to me, anyways, it was very clear when I trusted Christ, when I put my faith in Him, when I decided to follow Him. That's basically all I knew. That's basically was the understanding of him and what he did when he came to this world. But the more I started reading, the more I started understanding this book, it made me make certain decisions in my life. Man, I remember coming here and being part of the open meeting and me saying, there's no way I'm going to be able to stand up and share something. You know, for one, I know nothing, right? And two, I'm not going to be stuttering all the time. It's just no way. I cannot do it. But you know what? Once I was taught, once I started reading, once I started understanding that this is exactly the way God set it up. You know, we all have gift. We all have something to share. We all have something to contribute in our meeting. The open meeting is such an awesome idea of God. When you look at it in 1 Corinthians 14, when you actually see it, when you see that the group of believers came together and they brought psalms and they brought doctrine and they brought exhortation to edify the church, and the church grew. You know, there in Mexico, it's just incredible to me how the open meeting causes the believers to just grow. They are forced to read their Bible. They are forced to try to understand the Bible, and then actually bring something to the meeting to share and to teach in the meeting. It's just an amazing thing. So when I see this, the first thing I want to point out, and I think it's very important for us to understand, if we are going to complete this mission that God has called us to do, and is take the gospel to all the world, we have to understand a few things. And I think Peter points a few things out that are very important. The first thing he says here is in verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, it's interesting to me how he uses words that we can understand, right? He uses the word taste. And we know what taste is, right? It's to try, see if you like it, right? You just kind of dab into it a little bit. When I went down to Mexico, everybody tried to get me to eat nopales. I don't know if you ever eaten nopales. I think anything that hurts you as you're trying to prepare it, you should not eat it, right? But everybody tried to get me to do it. You know what? When I went to Toluca loved, they just love giving you nopales there. Well, you know what? I tasted it. I tasted it, and it took me a little bit, but the more I tasted it, the more I like it, right? I love nopales now. That's one of my favorite. I don't even know, what is it, a vegetable? I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, I like it. It's something that was an acquired taste for sure. But it's something at least for me, I tasted, and it's something that I couldn't give up, or I can't give up. You know, God has given us so many things to taste. You know, I mean, talk about this fellowship, talk about God's word, talk about family. There's so many things that he's given us. He's been so generous to us. Like it says right here, it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, I thank God for the people that he's brought into my life. Amen. That to me, the idea of me going out and giving someone the gospel so they can be a part of what I've been a part of, man, you know what? I've had friends all my life. I've always been very friendly, you know, as far as having friends. I'm not a loner. I don't like to be, you know, just in a corner somewhere. I actually like to talk to people, and I like people to talk to me. But one thing that I've seen that the Lord has given me is friends in the gospel, and they're the most faithful friends that I have. If I have a problem, you know the people that I go to? You guys. The people that God has rescued. You know, God has been so good. Verse 4, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. You know, I don't understand all the ins and outs of that, because when I think of a stone, I don't see no life in it, right? I mean, a stone is pretty much dead, but he compares it, and if you have some insight about that, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. But what the thought that came into my mind when it says here that Jesus Christ coming to him, he's a living stone, I found life in a place I would never expect there should be life. You know, I found salvation. I found an abundant way to live in Jesus Christ. You know, and when I think about this, when I think about this stone, and it says here, to whom coming, how close are you walking? Because we should be walking really close to the Lord. This is something that that sometimes we forget and we just put it aside. Our walk with Christ should be very close. But sometimes we walk away. Sometimes we ignore him. Sometimes we do exactly what it says here in verse 4, where it says, he was disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Disallowed. You know, there has to come a time. We know the people. This is so natural. People in the world, people who don't know Christ, people who don't have what we have, they don't allow God to work in their life. But it is a shame. It is something that we have to be aware of, that it can happen to believers. It can happen to us, that we don't allow God to have full reign in our life. We need to be careful, and we need to understand that it is possible for us to fall away. In that sense, that we get cold, that we get far away from God, that we're not doing exactly what he wants us to do. There's nothing better than living for the Lord.
Amen.
In verse 6 it says, he is, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. You know, the chief cornerstone, if you look it up, it's the chief foundation of which something is built, right? I've never built anything, a house, you know, if I ever did, I think it'd fall down really fast. But I do understand this, that rock is very important. That rock is the foundation. That rock is something that we cannot take out if we even want something to last. Jesus Christ has to be our foundation in everything that we do. If we meet in his name, if we preach his name, if we talk to somebody, it has to be in the foundation, has to be Christ. Another thing that we have to understand, and he says it three times in verse 4, in verse 6, in verse 7. Jesus Christ is precious. When you look up that word, precious, it's something that's very special. You know, when I read that word, when I was thinking about that word precious, I can't think of anything more precious than, well, my grandbaby. You know, she's very precious. And you know, I'm not the only one. The other day I was talking to Danny right outside, and I thought we were having a good conversation. But I must have bored him because he took out his phone and he showed me his grandkids. I was like, okay, I guess this conversation just died, you know? But and his grandbabies are very cute. But you know what? Jesus Christ should be precious to us. He should be something. When something is precious to us, you would do anything for it. It does not matter. You know, if Lauren and Matt want me to babysit Cosette, I'd do it. I'd change plans, I'd break plans, I'd do whatever they want to take care of that kid. Right? Why? That kid's precious to me. You know, Jesus Christ, I think sometimes when we get offended, when we lose sight of this, and Jesus becomes less precious in our life, I think we start doing less for him. Doesn't that happen to you? You gotta understand that is a problem. In verse 8, it says, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. He is an offense to some people. And we're talking about the world, right? But you know what? He can also be, and also get to that point where he offends you. He displeases you, right? You feel disrespected for whatever reason. But you know what? He should not be a stumbling block to us. Whatever Jesus Christ wants out of your life, not only should we give it to him, but the Bible says that we are bought with a price. If we are bought by Jesus Christ, it don't matter what he asks us. I knew a family who when their child had a desire, to serve God and go as a missionary, be a missionary. And they squashed it. They said, no, we don't want that kind of life for him. We don't want that kind of commitment because we know he's going to suffer. That was the worst thing they could do. That guy just got lost. That guy just washed up. You know, some things that we look at and we feel, you know, this offends me, or Christ offends me because he says this or that. We need to know that he is Lord over our life, and whatever he wants, we should be able to give it to him. Look what it says here. What do we do when we read verse 9? And this is my point. We are here because of Jesus Christ. This is the whole reason why every year we have a week of meetings. The whole reason why we gather, the whole reason why you take time from your schedule and come out here so we can be reminded again that this is something that we should do. This is something that we should be a part of. This is something close to the heart of God. And we need to understand that he has chosen us to take this work to the world. Four things. It says here in verse 9, but you are chosen generation. A chosen generation. To me, this is a reason why Jesus says over there in John that you and I should bear fruit. This is why he chose us, so we could bear fruit. We are a chosen generation. God chose us. It's specifically this church. To me, this is an amazing thing that we are a part of the video that you just saw. We're actually a part of that, this church. This is just incredible to me. Incredible that God has allowed us. He's chosen us, this generation, to take out the gospel and to see this marvelous stuff. Amen. What else does he say? He says we are a royal priesthood. You know, to me, that's very interesting that God calls us priests. He calls us kings. Over there, if we want to turn to Revelation chapter 1. In verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, you are a priest. You are, and we can go to the Old Testament. We can go and see what the priests did, what they, the sacrifices they did. They were busy praising God, honoring God with everything that they did. You know, you and I are called to do that. You are a priest. You are a king. He says you are washed, and you are instructed to go and serve God. What an incredible thing! I remember one time when I was down there in Mexico, I had to go to the hospital. To visit a family member of a sister in our church. I walked in, I had my Bible, and it's not like up here. Up here you just walk in like you own the place here in the hospitals, unless you're going to go to the intensive care. But down there, no, you stop at the door. They tell me, well, you can't go in if you're not a family member. And I was like, oh man, well, I got to go visit this guy, you know? I have my Bible, I have something to say. And all of a sudden, while I'm talking to this person, a priest walks in, right? He walks in, and he says hi, and he just keeps walking. And I was like, wait a minute, why'd you let him in? Well, he's a priest. And I said, Revelation 1:6, I'm a priest too. You know, I showed him that verse, and they looked at it, and they looked at me, and they said, okay, go right in. I was there to do service for the King. Amen. I was there to give the gospel. I was there to give this man an opportunity who could not talk anymore. He had tubes down his throat. He was in a bad position, but he could hear me. I went there with a message. It says here that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. It says here in verse, I want to go back to our text. In 1 Peter. Chapter 2. In verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, this world has no hope without us. We are a holy nation. But when I think about that, when I think about being holy, I think about going back to this chapter. Look what it says here in the first chapter, in verse 23. It says, being born again. Right? You know, the nation of God, and we are the nation, we are a holy nation, we are born again people. And you know what it says here? He says, because we're born again, and it says here, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And then he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. You know, as a holy nation, we need to be careful. We need to be careful to take care of these things in this church. He says, malice. What's malice? Inflicting harm and injury to someone. That should not be a part of us. You know, we have a couple of churches represented here. We shouldn't have any malice towards one another. No inflicting problems between one church or another. Not even churches that are not even affiliated to, you know, with us. They're believers, they're Christians, they're doing the work. We are a holy nation. Amen. What else does it say? All guile. What is guile? Craftiness to attain a goal. That should be far from us. Hypocrisies. False appearance. Envies. You know what envy is? It's a hatred for somebody who's doing a work more excellent than you. You know, there's people that way. There's people who can do stuff better than you can. Right? There's people who can speak better. There's people who can work better. There's people who look better. There's people who are good looking, people that are not good looking, right? I mean, we know what envy is, and we have to be careful. God chose us. We are a chosen nation, it says, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and it says all evil speaking should be out of the church. What is evil speaking? Backbiting. How much does that goes on among us? That's a shame. We should not entertain slanderous stuff. You know what I want to mature to the point in my life as a believer? I want to mature to the point where somebody is telling me something about somebody else that I should tell them, stop talking. I don't want to hear it. But you know what most of the time happens? Tell me more. You know, really? Did that really happen? I want to know more. Well, you know, it says right here that we should be, all evil speaking should be not even a part of us. The last thing it says here, a peculiar people. God chose us. We are the chosen generation to take this gospel to the world. We are a royal priesthood. God has chosen us individually to take this word to other people. We are here a holy nation, and he says a peculiar people. He even says in verse 9, you are strangers and pilgrims. Go ye therefore into all the world. That makes you very peculiar. Have you ever seen anybody preach on the streets? Have you ever seen anybody witness to somebody? Have you ever seen anybody at a restaurant try to give the gospel to somebody, to their waitress, to, you know, people like that? They look very strange, very, very peculiar, because you are talking about something that most people don't have any interest in doing. And God says he has chosen you to do it. Our understanding of Christ will determine our path. Are you glorifying God with your life? That's the question I want to leave with you. Look what it says here in verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is something you and I have to be working to do. God chose us. Are you glorifying God tonight?
Well, we've heard the word of the Lord. He's probably dealing with somebody in this room. I would assume that what we've heard this today has affected you, because God's word doesn't return to him void. He's got something to tell you. And you know, I think we all have something to do. I honestly think that we ought to be considering what God wants out of us. And during this mission conference, you are supposed to be listening to God and asking him, what do you want out of me? Because it's probably not make a lot of money and, you know, set yourself up for retirement. That's probably not what God's looking out of you. He wants a spiritual work out of you. So have you considered it? I'll tell you what, let's stand and we're going to sing number 95. If you've got something to deal with God, the altar's open. You're welcome to come and deal with him there. But let's sing this out and let's mean it. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe God wants you to give your life as a missionary. Consider it. Number 95.
May not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lonely place in earth's harvest fields so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
That ought to be your prayer, and that ought to be what you tell the Lord all the time. Yes. Lord, send me. Do what you want to with me. And if it's not, you need to get yourself right. Amen. Yep. Thank you, folks, for coming out. Come back tomorrow night.